are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Well, good morning, church. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for your word, the power of your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you would speak into our hearts and our minds today. Lord, that it would be fresh revelation. The light would go on in our hearts and our minds for the things of you. So let your power be evident in this place right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I was in the middle of a message on spiritual gifts. And so today is going to be the conclusion of that. And so I'm just going to give a very quick recap and then we're going to move into some of the other gifts. So we're going to have that first scripture up. John 14:16-18. This is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. So if you think of a courtroom, an advocate is someone who is there, who is beside you, walking with you, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. Remember, I talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not a thing. Holy Spirit is a person who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But you know him because he lives with you. So he's talking to the disciples. The Holy Spirit is in Christ. And at that stage, the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out. He said, he lives with you and now, with you now and later will be in you. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit released to come in the book of Acts. In verse 18, it says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. So he's talking about us being adopted children as Christians. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And so if we go to the next slide, as we talk about spiritual gifts, we're talking about the supernatural. So supernatural, and in my first message, I had it up last time, but I didn't use it. Jill Oxley down there said, you had this last time, but you didn't bring it out. So we talk about the supernatural. Think of a screwdriver. Okay, this is a big screwdriver, right? This is a big screwdriver. You know, this is for the big jobs. But it's natural power. It's natural power. So that's when we walk in the natural things, in the gifts and talents that we have from a natural point of view. They're given to us at birth. All right. And I had to bring a DeWalt. Last time I brought a measly old Black & Decker, but I had to bring the DeWalt this morning. So, but this is the Holy Spirit in our lives. When the power kicks into the Holy Spirit, we get the power. Direct from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus was talking about. The supernatural. Screwdriver is the natural. This is the supernatural. And so as we see, they're gifts from the Holy Spirit. They're to benefit or to profit others. This is what 1 Corinthians 12 talks about. The gifts are for all believers. So if you're a believer here today, if you're a Christian here today, these gifts are for you. It's not for someone on the platform or someone who's a pastor or an elder or someone with a title. They're for all believers. Not my words, this is what the Bible says. Okay, and we base what we believe on what the Bible says. They're for all believers. Not for some believers, they're for all believers. As we are in relationship with God and for the purposes of God and his kingdom. So if we can just put that next statement up. The Holy Spirit in us is God working through us and in relationship with him to bring about his kingdom and purpose here on earth. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Holy Spirit in us is us bringing his purpose on earth. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." And I believe that there are some who are strong in certain gifts, but at any time, God can impart his power in us for different situations to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if we go to that next slide. So here are the spiritual gifts. This is according to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. First one is the word of wisdom. Second one is the word of knowledge. Third one is discernment of spirits. And they're the revelation to know gifts. And then the power to do gifts are miracles, faith and healings. And then the vocal gifts to say are tongues, interpretation and prophecy. Now this morning, the last one I had to really, which we talked about tongues and interpretation, I really had to do some explanation on that. This morning we're going to be able to move through a little bit quicker with some of these gifts and have some examples, and I've got a couple of people coming up to share a couple of things. So firstly, the first gift we're going to talk about this morning is the last of the to say gifts, which is prophecy. Okay, so I'm just going to explain these as we go. There'll be information on the board, but as we can see there, 1 Corinthians 14:3, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So it's for individuals and for the church. So when there's prophecy, it's for individuals and for the whole church, as in the body of Christ. For edification, exhortation and comfort. So to be edified is to be built up. That's to simplify it, is to be built up. Prophecy is the spiritual declaration of the mind and heart of God. It always lines up with Scripture. It always lines up with Scripture. We are called to test prophecy. Scripture is one way you can test it. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it might be on a bit of an edge or a bit of trouble. We've got to know our Scripture. The gift of prophecy consists of delivering a message from God which may involve a direct revelation from him. And lastly, the gift of prophecy mostly will deal with the future. Not always, but mostly will deal with the future. And I'm going to ask Mike Bradshaw, can we give Mike a hand as he come up to just share a little bit about his journey with this? Mike's just going to give a little bit of a picture about how it all worked with him and started, and just a little bit of testimony about it. Thanks, Mike.
15 minutes, was it? 95. No, how it happened for me was actually, I shared this with young adults a few years ago. I was going to a church about year 11, year 12, I think it was, and it was a small church down in Bulling with my family. And during the worship, no, during the communion, the pastor came up to me and said, "Oh, do you believe you can prophesy?" I said yes straight away because I thought I had to say yes. That's why. Yeah, I can do that. And so he prayed for me. I thought, okay, he'll pray for me. That'll be it. He said, "Now go and prophesy." I nearly fell through the floor. I'm going, oh my goodness, what have I done? And it was one of those moments where you think everyone's staring at you. You could feel all their eyes in the back of my head sort of going, okay, let's see if you can do it. And I wasn't saying it to be sort of, egotistical. I thought, yeah, I'll just say, yeah, I can prophesy, but had no idea really what it was all about. So he prayed for me, said, okay, now go and prophesy. So I'm standing there going, what do? I can't sort of disappear. I've said yes. I've got to do something. And so I go, all right. And I literally went, That's literally what I did. I went, As soon as I did that, I'm not making this up, it was like something from the very pit of my stomach came up, out my mouth, and all these words started coming out. And that was my experience of prophecy. And I had never been taught about prophecy. My mum and dad had probably talked about it at different times at home, just like we're doing today. But that was my experience. It was basically, off I went and did it. I have no idea what I said. It probably came out 100 miles an hour. I don't remember what I said. But it was prophecy. And that was probably the moment for me where I experienced it for the very, very first time. From that moment, it became a journey which was sometimes incredibly challenging, sometimes very exciting. Sometimes you felt like you're sort of hanging out on the edge there going, what are you going to do with this, Michael, but it was very much like Chris said, where you just have to completely rely on the Holy Spirit. It's not me, it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit which inspires, and like Chris said, which always will speak according to Scripture. The Holy Spirit will always match up with Scripture. But it was very much a learning curve from that time. Like, did I start walking around all these different churches prophesying all these wonderful things? No, I didn't do that. I wasn't ready for that. But it was very much probably going home and just in my own place at home. I'd be in my bedroom and I'd just write down a sentence, and that might be all it was, just one sentence. And I'd just go and share it with Mum and Dad. Oh, yeah, that sounds really great. But that from then on, probably opportunities started to arise at church. Through home group in particular. A good place to practice. Excuse me a second. Young in the cold. A good place to practice is home group because it's a safe place. It's a place we can actually sit there and encourage each other with prophecy. Very much through the music at Care Force Church, my worship leader there really encouraged me in prophecy and gave me lots of opportunity to start to develop that. It was like a language. I learned to grow more and more with it as my confidence in God grew, as my understanding of what prophecy was all about. I started to get more opportunities to start utilising it. And I suppose where it really started to become really obvious to me, I went Cleansing Streams. Does that still exist, that program, Cleansing Streams? Yeah, I did a Cleansing Streams a number of years ago when I was still up at Care Force or Discovery, I think it is these days. And I did it with my wife on a weekend. And we came back the following week after the Cleansing Streams. I walked into church, and the only way I could describe it was like a tap turned on. I literally sat there, and everywhere I looked, I almost got these prophetic words for all these people. And it just happened from then, and then that's where it really exploded. And very much where it was very much a learning curve where I had to learn very quickly, but I had lots of support from my pastor and other people. But it was very much where just all these things started happening. And from, I suppose from then on, it just started to become a part of my life. And that's the thing I want to really stress. It just becomes a part of you. It doesn't identify me. It's not, I'm not Michael the prophet. I'm Michael the person. But the prophetic gift will move through me when God wants to utilise it. And I have had opportunities to prophesy over churches in all sorts of amazing places. But it's where God has allowed me to do that. And that's what I said at the start. It has been sometimes scary because you go, oh, dear God, I hope this is right. I don't want to go and say these things and start screwing someone's life up or saying these things over a church. But you just have to trust that God's in control. And it's very much not letting self be at the front. You have to allow Jesus to be at the front. What else do you want me to talk about?
What's the craziest thing you've ever prophesied?
Craziest thing I've ever prophesied. I'll tell you two things really quickly. One thing, don't ever minimise what God will get you to say. I said one word to this young girl once at church, and I thought it was a really weird thing to say, and I felt God say, just up and say to her, God thinks you're really cool. That's all it was. So I went up to her and I said, God just wants me to say you're really cool. She completely broke down in tears. Why it moves me because you see people's lives change. I said one sentence, or God did. And the reason why it impacted her was all that week she thought she'd been an absolute disappointment to God and had really, really weighed her down. And she felt her life was sort of, you know, heading in the direction she didn't want. And when she heard those words, it completely changed her life. And I could give you countless examples where I've seen people's lives literally change 180 degrees just through words I've said, or God has said, not I've said, God has said. And to me, it always moves me every time. I can't not cry because it's a beautiful thing to see. But the craziest thing, I suppose, I was over visiting my brother-in-law in Adelaide with my wife. I forget this a few years ago now. Danny Gulcamachi, is that the guy, yeah. The pastor? And I was sitting in church, and once again, the same thing happened. I started getting all these prophetic words, and then I got a word for the church. And I'm sitting there, and I felt God say, go and give it to him. And I'm going, oh no, God, come on, no, please, no. And I argued with God, I'll be honest, I did argue with God. He said, no, go and give it to him. So at the end of the service, I walked up to him and said, look, you don't know me. I'm not a fruitcake, I hope, but I just feel that God has given me a word for your church. Can I give it to you? And he looked at me. That felt like 100, you know, forever, but it was just a short time ago. He goes, yep, I'd love to come and listen to it. So I thought, okay, cool, come to my office. So I went back to his office. Well, I thought it'd just be me and him. That'd be nice and easy. Well, it wasn't me and him. It was me and his whole ministry team. I had no idea they were sitting back there. And I'm just standing there once again going, oh, my goodness, God, please, you've got to turn up and speak here because this is really scary stuff. And this is very much in the early days. And I started, and I prophesied over the church, and then I ended up prophesying over half of his ministry team there and then. Was it scary? Yes. But was it incredibly blessing for me? Absolutely, because it just showed me God was in control. And that's the last time I saw him. He said to me afterwards, he said, "I'm going to email Alan Meyer," who knew Alan very well, "and say, who's this heretic who's coming over from your church to my church?" He was joking, by the way. But it was very much one of those types of experiences. But another really quick one, I don't want to take my time, but I want to encourage the music team. I have said this with you as well, but to all of us as a church, I have prophesied through my trumpet. When I've got up and started playing trumpet, then out through that came the prophetic word and seen literally miracles start happening out of that in the middle of the service. And that's really incredible too. And I will prophesy that over this church now. It's going to happen again. It will. Don't turn up to church saying this is another service. This is not another service. Let's turn up expecting God is going to move. And we're starting to see it now. And the miraculous is going to come through the worship. The miraculous is going to come through the message. The miraculous is going to come through you. And I'm not saying this now on my own behalf. This is what God has put on my heart to say right now. It's going to come through you. You just have to dare to believe that God will use you. He will, because the same Holy Spirit which is in Jesus resides in you right now. Now I better shut up, otherwise I'm going to keep going forever.
Good job, mate. Mike wasn't in the prayer meeting. And where's Andrew Culverson? You have the prophetic on you. Andrew's words in the prayer meeting, his prayer in the prayer meeting was, don't just turn up to church and expect it's just another day. Backs up what Mike said, Andrew, and God works in powerful ways through his spirit. All right, it's not pre-organized. It's not us getting together and working things out. This is God doing it his way through his power and his spirit. So the next gift that I would like to talk about is miracles. And so if we can put the information up on the board. So this is an event that cannot be explained by natural means. Impossible for man to do, an act of God intended as evidence of his purpose and his power. Humanly impossible, but divinely simple. Jesus' first miracle was when the water was turned into wine at the wedding of Cana. Now remember I said last week about Jesus, until the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized, there was no miracles that Jesus had performed in his life. But the Holy Spirit came on his life. And I just want to repeat what I've been saying. If it's good enough for Jesus, he said we could do greater things. We're not doing anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So we saw that amazing thing where water was turned into wine. We saw the feeding of the 5,000 where, what was it, how many bread? Two bread and five bread and two fish, feeding of the 5,000. Now that, by the way, recorded in the Bible was 5,000 men. It didn't include the women and the children. So we can almost double that. That was a miracle, remember? Not possible with the hands of men. Impossible for man to do, but an act of God intended as evidence for his purpose and power. And then we see in the Old Testament the parting of the Red Sea. Now, we have had a miracle in our midst in the last couple of years, and I know there's probably more, but I want to talk about one. We've done some marriage counselling in the last few weeks with, and that's not the miracle, but we did some, as in we were pre-marriage counselling. I know sometimes Claudia and I need marriage counselling, but it was pre-marriage counselling. Okay, and so we, 2 weeks ago, we married couple Jaden and Ashley, and they're about 20. Now, Ashley, I think it was about 3 years ago, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, it was about 3 years ago. Okay, so Ashley had an ultrasound because she had a growth between the size of a golf ball and a tennis ball, and in somewhere in her stomach, I think it was in her uterus. And so she was quite concerned, and the doctors had basically told her that she had a growth and it was cancer. And so she came to church I think with Mike, came to you, to church with you, and after church, I'm not sure who it was, and it doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit works through all people. And they prayed for Ashley. She said to us when she was talking about it that she was worried sick about this and she was scared for her life. She really was scared for her life. And so 2 weeks later, they went back to the doctors and they had to have another scan, another ultrasound. And the doctors couldn't explain why, but there was no sign of anything. Totally gone. Absolutely gone. Now, they have both ultrasounds, I'm told, of before and after. That is a miracle. Not a healing, that is a miracle. An act of God that is powerful. That is the evidence of the Holy Spirit working through someone. That is a miracle. Happened just here. It can happen anywhere. Got to believe that miracles can happen through the power of God. So, that's a miracle. I don't want to go into it. I want to keep it quite simple this morning. We don't need to complicate things. Jesus, when he prayed for people, he didn't complicate things. We saw many miracles take place with Jesus. He says the same power lives within us and we can see awesome things happen. So let's move on to healing. Let's keep it simple. To see people healed of different kinds of sicknesses. This is a supernatural ability of God to bring a measure or full restoration of physical, emotional, mental or spiritual health through a direct act of God. Those who have this gift, now I need you to hear all of what, don't start getting excited about what I've got to say, but those who have this gift are compassionate towards the sick and pray over them regularly. They have great faith and trust that God can and will heal some and are not deterred when he chooses not to. There are those who have healing ministry, but God can use anyone, anyone, at any time with his power to heal the sick. Healings are meant to draw people to God through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus healed many of many different sicknesses. I just want to talk about something that happened in my life earlier this year, and I don't know whether you remember, Jules, but you and Mike Ogilvie, I think it was, prayed for me for my back. I think it was you. And I'm not sure whether Mike's here this morning. I don't think he is. But I had major back pain in between my shoulder blades, and it was just so painful, and I couldn't sleep properly, and I had to sleep straight in bed, and it was that way for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I'd been to an osteo a couple of times and nothing was changing. And the osteo had said, I'm a bit concerned about this. I really need to, we need to get this looked at because nothing's changing. How often in the things, in the natural, nothing's changing. Yet in God, it's different. And so in this process, Mike just said, I really sense that we need to pray with you. And because I talked about the pain in my back, and so it wasn't him coming up, I've got a word for you. He said, I want to pray for you. And so they prayed. And over the next 5 days, by the fifth day, it was totally gone. Okay? Now, we can pass it off and say, oh, yeah, coincidences happen. But the osteo rang me on the Friday and said, how's that all going? And I said, it's totally gone. I'm totally free. I don't have to be doing what I'm doing. And, there was a process where I was doing the right things. I wasn't being stupid about it, but I was doing the right things. But I can tell you there was nothing changing in weeks. But after I was prayed for, it slowly but surely, and I continued to pray that it would, slowly but surely, I was free. And I'm totally free now. I haven't had any repeat of it. Now, that is healing, okay? That is how healing works. And so we see that, and that happens often. So don't ever pass off things where you continue to get better. Continue to pray for them. Don't just stop where you're at. If you're praying for someone, continue to pray for them. Pray that they may be healed. That's what the Bible says. Pray that they may be healed. Okay, so faith. That is a special ability to trust God. This is the spiritual gift of faith in 1 Corinthians 12, as they all are. This is a special ability to trust God beyond the limits of what we think is normally possible. We see in Hebrews 11 verse 1, and I want to highlight the what's in brackets at the end. Now, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely granted, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. It's a really powerful statement. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. As Christians, we all have a measure of faith. So we all have a measure of faith. But there are times when our measure isn't enough. But we ask the Holy Spirit, and there is an increase beyond our normal level of faith. Now, there are some people I know who, like some of the other gifts, walk in this. They walk with the spiritual gift of faith on their life. And you know, they have no issue. Now, that's not for everyone, but I believe that God can bring an increase. And as we walk more in it, we have a greater sense that God can work in all situations. And so, as I said, a measure of faith, but there are times when our measure isn't enough and we ask the Holy Spirit as an increase beyond our normal level of faith. Often these situations that don't look good, they don't look good, and there seems little hope, and are often connected with healing and miracles. Not always, but they're often connected with healing and miracles. It's a supernatural faith that God will come through regardless of the circumstance. Now, we see in the Old Testament, if you remember with David in the Old Testament, there was that moment with Goliath where he went to his brothers and he said, "Who's this clown that's standing there big and tall that thinks he's so wonderful that he's going to defy the armies of God?" Now listen to this. This is what David said. "I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do this, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine. For he has defied the armies of the living God, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion," so he's seen it before, "and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." He had faith in what he had seen before. Now, this is really talking about a natural faith that he has, but when we transfer it to the new with the Holy Spirit, we begin to believe and see things that we can't see happen in the natural, that look impossible. This is what the Holy Spirit is. It's taking the natural, the screwdriver, and using the power drill, because we see and we rely on not our strength but God's strength to come through. Now, sometimes they don't come through, but it doesn't mean that God can't come through. And so ask for an increase in our faith. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring about this for different times and different needs. Now, so like I said, some people walk in this, but I believe that in the gift of the Holy Spirit, God can bring it about when he wants to. He says that he gives the gifts as he wants. Okay, so moving right along, we're not far off. I'm going to get Dave Odd up in a minute, but I just want to talk about the word of wisdom. Okay, so wisdom. So we move into the third lot of the gifts, which is the gift of revelation. So, yeah, this is part of the revelation gifts. Okay, so the word of wisdom is that anointing of the Holy Spirit which is exercised when issues arise in your life and the lives of others, and when there are important decisions to be made. It is that imparting of the word of wisdom that is just so right that it brings divided factions together. Often brings divided factions together. Often this gift is exercised without even realizing that is the gift of the word of wisdom. With wisdom and knowledge, there's basically, if I can dumb it down, there's three types of wisdom, and this is when we come to the word of knowledge, so I want to cover this for both. There's three types of these things in the world. There's the natural wisdom, which comes through learning and coming. There are the world supernatural wisdom. Okay, so this is where we talk about the counterfeit type of wisdom. And when we begin to talk about star signs, things that aren't good, okay, palm reading and that sort of stuff, not on, by the way. Don't dabble in that stuff. They're a supernatural type that are a counterfeit gift Satan will always bring a counterfeit, okay? That's not what we're called to follow in or after. And then there's the godly empowered by the Holy Spirit, which leads to life. Okay, so the counterfeit type leads to death. The Holy Spirit inspired leads to life. That's how you can see where the leading goes. In 1 Kings, we saw where Solomon brought wisdom to a situation. And then the king said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim that the living child is yours. This is after they were claiming one of the children had died. And so we had a fact here where let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours and each says that the dead one belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, cut the living child in two. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Cut the living child in two and give half to one woman and half to the other. Then the woman who was the real mother of the living child and who loved him very much cried out, oh no, my Lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. Then the king said, do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is the true mother. When all Israel heard this king, the king's decision, the people were in awe. This is what happens when wisdom of God comes in. People are amazed. They were in awe of the king, for they saw the wisdom God had given him for rendering justice. Now, Solomon asked for wisdom. We can ask for the same wisdom for certain situations. Some of us walk in this gift like the other gifts, but we can ask for wisdom when we need it. There are times in our lives where we go, I just don't know what to do here. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and give you the wisdom. And it may come through someone else giving it to you, but ask God for it to come through the power of His Holy Spirit. And so I had another example there, but I'm not going to go into that one because for time. So for the next gift is knowledge. I'm going to get Dave up in a sec and he's going to share a bit. It's a knowledge of things that you would not know through a natural acquisition or study, possibly described as the mind of Christ, being manifested to the mind of the believer and given when needed in a flash of time. May not be a flash of time, but it can be. For the Christian to pray, to protect, to show, and to help others, use it with wisdom. God's greater purposes. These are for God's greater purposes. In the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel, Nathan called out David because of his evil deeds after he had slept with Bathsheba and murdered the husband through other means. Nathan called him out. God had given him a word of wisdom and he said, you're the man. You need to sort things out. And David came back to God and said, I'm the man, put his hand up. But that was a word of wisdom that God had given Nathan. And so there are plenty of other examples in the Bible. But I just want to get Dave up to come and share just about the word of knowledge and some of his experience. Let's give Dave a hand as he comes. See if he can clap as long as he's getting up on stage. Thanks, Dave. He's not wise. And in knowledge in some sense, because he barracks for Geelong. But anyway.
I've got a word of knowledge for next week. Be ready to be disappointed. Okay. Now. The word of knowledge. A few years ago, Graham and myself ran a Wednesday night meeting. And we would spend the afternoon just seeking God. On the Wednesday afternoon, we'd go out the bush somewhere or anywhere, and God would just speak to us and say, okay, you're going to pray for a person with a certain disease or a person with a certain problem. And we would write them down. I'd have five or six, Graham had five or six. People would come along, we'd just speak out these words and people would come for prayer and just receive help from God. I believe the word of knowledge helps because it highlights to people that God knows their situation. You see, Graham and myself didn't know. It was before the meeting. We didn't know who was going to turn up. We'd have this list. And so God would be encouraged. Oh, God knows that's going on in my life. And so as we prayed for them, that helped. Any of these gifts rely on us hearing from God. And the only way we can hear properly from God is to have a relationship with him. So I used to run a little example in my Bible college classes. I get them all to close their eyes. One person would stand up and I'd ask them to speak. They would speak. I said, now who spoke? Oh, and they'd name the person who spoke. How did you know it was him? You had your eyes closed. Well, we knew his voice. See, we need to know God's voice. Is it the enemy trying to trick us into something? Is it just something I've thought up? Or is it God speaking? And if we can get to that relationship with God, Chris has said the gifts are for everybody. Just get to know him. Get to know his voice and get to know when it's not his voice, and then the gifts will flow. And like with Mike, Chris asked me to think of something which was perhaps the most spectacular or the most interesting. Well, there was a person in our home group who'd been trying to sell his property for many, many months. He just could not sell it. And I prayed and I said to him, listen, I think God's saying about your price. So he thought, oh, here goes, got to decrease it. I said, increase your price by $20,000. The property sold in a week. It's just astounding. And as I said, you've got to know God's voice, because you'd be a bit stupid saying increase the price by 20,000 if it wasn't God. And so just hear him and he will come to know. You know, something that really encouraged me was Ken Barrett. We were talking a little bit about this and he said, one of the highlights of my week was the Wednesday meeting when we come along and see God moving in such power. Now, I do have a word of knowledge, but I'm not going to ask the person to come out, or it may be more than one person. I'm not going to ask them to come out right now, but I will be over here at the end of the service. You're a person, you've had a dream. You saw, I don't know whether you remember the ads about AIDS, but there was the picture of a grim reaper. And you've had a dream, and you've seen the grim reaper, and you are very, very afraid. I want to pray with you, because God says, no, no, fear is not part of his program. He brings life. So I want to pray with you, get rid of that fear. You've got nothing to fear.
Thanks, Dave. Fantastic. So if that's you afterwards, please come up and see Dave. It's not, I mean, that's just not an average, you know, here's a word for you. This is he's made, been very clear of where it's come from. And that's the way the Spirit of God works in the words of knowledge. Okay, so the final one today, as we finish up, is discerning of spirits. This is one of my favourites. Like, I just, you know, you have favourite things. This is one of my favourites. So I've seen this in operation and I really do like this one. It's when the Holy Spirit allows you to see in the realm of the Spirit, to know what motives or spirits are operating in a person, situation, or over a city, state, church, or home, etc. There is just something that is not quite right. We've got to, as Dave said, we've got to know and walk in and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we've got to know and walk in the things of God and know the things of God. And a lot of that's going to come, not all of it, but a lot of it's going to come through the Word of God, knowing the Word of God. Such a powerful thing. And, you know, we look back to these times where you know, they didn't have the written a lot for the written word of what we see in the New Testament. And they walked in the things of the Spirit. Now, we've got both, which is just awesome. And we can test the spirits and we can understand things. So there's just something that is not quite right. It's a sort of an intangible thing. You cannot really put your finger on it always. In most cases, you will know immediately. And once again, like in the situation where we've got the words of wisdom and knowledge, there's the Holy Spirit, there's evil spirits, and there's a human spirit. And often the human spirit and evil spirits can contradict to what God's trying to do and his purposes. So we can see that through those eyes. And you can test the spirits, and so it's important to test things following prophetic words. Like we've said, you're able to test them. In 1 John 4:1, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God." That's in 1 John 4, verse 1. In Acts 16 and 16 to 18, there's a classic example of someone seeing someone with a spirit that at the start seemed to be like working with what Paul was doing. And if we see in Acts 16, 16 to 18, it happened that we're on our way to the place of prayer. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. That is a demonic spirit claiming to foretell the future and discover hidden knowledge. And she brought her owners a good profit by fortune telling. She followed after Paul and us and kept screaming and shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." So it looked okay. And then it said, she continued doing this for several days. Then Paul, being greatly annoyed — so it's okay to be annoyed sometimes, all right? Because Paul was greatly annoyed. Where are we? I've lost this. Greatly annoyed and worn out, turned and said to the spirit inside her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ as his representative to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. It's really important that we know the real thing so you can detect when something is up. We've got to know the real thing. We talked about counterfeit notes. Graham's talked about counterfeit notes. How did they used to train them with counterfeit notes? They used to train them by knowing what the real notes are, not by what the counterfeit notes are. So we've got to know the real thing. Okay, and so we've got to begin to understand the Holy Spirit when you get a check or there is something up. And so just finally before Mike's got something he wants to share. Finally before Mike brings what he said, I had a young man sitting right about where you were, Graham, about 15 or 16 years ago, and he came to church and he wanted to be prayed for a certain issue. And he began to tell me how I was going to pray for him, when I was going to do it and where it was going to happen. And the young man had a spirit of control on his life. It was a spirit of control because I followed it up later and he'd done it to other people and put them under control. And I said to that young man, I said, "It will not be happening that way. I'm happy to pray for you, but it's not going to be happening that way." And he followed through with someone else prayed for him, and that spirit was broken off his life. But sometimes you can see it. There are lots of different spirits. Spirit of control is one of them. Spirit of Jezebel. There's lots of different spirits that can be operation in the lives of people. And so we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the spirit of discernment so we can see when there's a wrong spirit in operation. And so so that's the last one, but I just want to bring Mike up. Mike's said that he's got something to bring this morning, so go for it.
I just really felt, just as we're finishing up, I had to say this now. This is a word in season. This is a word in time. This is what Chris has been preaching to us, has not just been teaching. It's actually a prophetic word in itself. God's saying it's now the time for these gifts to rise up within the church again. They've already been functioning, but even in a greater way. That this is something that we as a church have to now act on. And this is a challenge for each one of us. You have to act on now. The gift God has given you is within you. We have to now, you need to have to decide, God, what is the gift you want me to move in, and start to move in that gift. These gifts have to function in this church because that's what a healthy church looks like. when the gifts are functioning, the church is healthy, because we need all the different gifts to operate. The gifts don't just come through the pastoral team, like Chris has said. They just don't come through one or two people. They come through each and every one of us. And I feel God wants to really challenge us as a church. It's now time for the gifts to rise up. If you have the gift of healing, start to put the gift of healing into practice. If you're not really sure how to do that, we can work out ways to help you go and develop that and experience that. But I'm not sure if this is the right thing to do now, Chris, but if you'd like to be prayed for at the end, I'm more than happy. I'm sure other people too. Come and let's pray over you and say, God, release the gift you have for this particular person. This is a word in season and it's a word in time. It's now time for the church, us, to rise up with these gifts. And as we do, God's name will be glorified and we will see the miraculous happen. We will see things happen which we've dreamt of seeing again. We're going to see it again. Why? Because God will use us. So I just really felt I had to say that today before we finish up.
Good work. Okay, so what I want to do, I don't want to bring the worship team up. I want everyone to stand to your feet, please. Now, like in other services, you know whether God's been talking to you this morning, whether you've kind of, you know, with the Holy Spirit, you've kind of put him aside and said, you know, not kind of really for me, or you're not aware of this, you're not sure of this. There are, you know, Andy showed right now, media, there's plenty of ways you can investigate more. Like in the words of Pastor Oxley, it's mountaintops that we've hit this morning. But it doesn't mean the Spirit of God can't work in and through a process and situation. And so if you're standing there and you're going, I really want to see some of this work in my life. You know, I was at Bunnings the other day and I walked past a lady who had a moon boot on. And, you know, that's not a moment when God's saying, I'm calling you to pray for her. This is a moment where we just pray for her. And I'm arguing with God and saying, really, God? And he's like, go and pray for her. So I prayed for her. So it's a boldness that we need to operate in the things of the Spirit. Start to walk in it. You know, Mike said the first time he prophesied, it was and it flowed from there. There's a walking in an understanding. And so the Holy Spirit's everything for us as Christians. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Okay? So I want us all to bow in prayer. And you know whether God's talking to you. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just empower your life. Father, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you've given us gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit to impact the world, to impact the situation, for in the church and outside the church, to see the world changed. You wouldn't give gifts if it wasn't for a greater purpose. And so, God, I pray that we can put aside our insecurities this morning and our thoughts and our opinions. And, Father, we can just open our lives up to the Holy Spirit, to know more about the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I pray that there is an increase in your Holy Spirit in the lives of everyone here. And the gifts that you have for people, I pray that they would be open to receive those gifts. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come in power right now. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Let's see lives changed. Let's see communities changed, families changed. Father, we just thank you for your power. We just thank you for your love for us. And I pray that we would continue to walk in the things of your Spirit as adopted children for your kingdom purposes. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.